Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, I hope it's the beginning of a great week for all of you. And enjoy the weather, enjoy the change of season, and hopefully you'll enjoy the show as well later on with all the interest in college. It's funny, I took a walk around. I have been by Wellesley College in Wellesley, Mass. Many times, but I took that, I guess it was about a 3-mile walk around the lake. What? Fabulous facilities. Oh my goodness. I think it's 60 if you don't get a scholarship or any kind. I think it's 60, 2,400 students. What is it? It's a stunning campus. Hillary, are you listening to me? I think it's 61,000 a year if you want to go to Wellesley, but wow. Also gave a talk in New York on Saturday, and I got the Amtrak coming back. Nice, relaxing ride. Great trip. Talk went very well. Thank you. And start to come back and get between Providence and Route 128. Those of you in the New England area know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, the train comes to a complete stop. And the next thing I know, it's an hour and a half before I get where I'm going and everybody else gets where they're going, because they had to get everybody off the train because there were some vandals, kids. You ready for this? They put metal objects on the tracks, and the train hit the metal objects, and it did some damage to the train and the tracks. And it was an hour and a half ordeal. I got claustrophobic. I just wanted to get out of there and go out Saturday night. I had plans. They had to get another train in. Everybody got shuttled over. And then the announcement came, and I applauded along with everybody else, that these blankety-blank kids were arrested by the Amtrak police. I've been going up on Google to try to search it out. I haven't been able to find anything. But justice prevailed. I wish justice would prevail in our political system. And it really doesn't. It does, but it doesn't. The rules are the rules. The laws are the laws. And I know what Donald Trump is getting at, but he's taken a little bit of a different task, trying to be a little more statesmanlike at times. But I've just been kind of worn thin by his behavior. Now, I always have to say this. If he ran against Hillary Clinton, I'd be out campaigning 24/7 for Donald Trump. But Ted Cruz is the guy. I mean, Ted Cruz, he's the man. I saw him in an hour interview with Sean Hannity, and I said, oh boy, that could be me up there talking, not as eloquently and not as intellectually and not with the knowledge that he has, but position by position by position. You can either believe or don't believe what they're going to say. In Hillary's case, you don't believe anything she says. I mean, that's what's made it incredible. You know, I have a friend, I mentioned him on here. I like the guy. He's got a heart of gold. He'll do anything for you. Got a little bit of an issue with the truth. Nothing serious. I have never been affected. Everybody who knows him likes him. He just can't. So whenever he says anything, I have difficulty believing it. And you know, people say, well, why are you friendly with them? Well, everybody has, the only one I know who is perfect is me. So therefore, I must lower my standards in constructing interpersonal relationships. But I like the nickname that Trump gave Hillary, Crooked Hillary. You know, it's Lion Ted and Crooked Hillary. I don't know how much Cruz is lying. Every politician, let me say diplomatically, shades the issues. But I do know that Hillary is an obsessive liar. I don't think she could distinguish between the truth and a lie. And I think you can see that when she's lying, standing up there. She didn't even know she's lying. You know, the sniper bullets, Benghazi, on and on. The scandals, the right-wing conspiracy out to get her. There's no reason for the right wing I hope they are out to get her. I hope somebody's out to get her. When I say get her, I mean get her eliminated as a presidential candidate. No, it's not going to happen. It's just, you know, you hear she's going to be indicted. You hear she's not. Every day, the first news story I'm waiting to hear is that Hillary is indicted. But nothing will come of it. And I don't want to keep saying it every day because people will start turning the show off. It's not going to happen. So stop dreaming. She's going to be the candidate. And if the election were held today, Hillary would win the presidency. She'd win the presidency. At this point, you know, it looks like Trump is in cruise control. Get it? Play on words. Trump is in cruise control. If he just keep his mouth shut and doesn't force a broken convention, I think the nomination is his. But I still think that he's never really wanted this. He just has to. He has to play the part. He'd be crucified if it came out where he said, you know, I really didn't think I was going to be a candidate and I really didn't want the race. You know, like listening to Paul Ryan, he didn't want the Speaker of the House position. Oh, no. He doesn't want the presidency. Oh, no, he's eliminating himself until it's a draft movement. Well, it's not realistic that delegates and superdelegates that you see in the Democrat Party, that these people will be the determinants, the politicians behind closed doors, who the candidate will be. What right is it with the popular vote having been expressed? And in so many states, in quote, a legitimate democratic process, even though we live in a constitutional republic, that the people in this country have decided that it's either going to be Hillary or Bernie Sanders, and they've decided that it's either going to be Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. You don't like the rules, get rid of them. You don't like the candidates? Tough, you know what? I am absolutely appalled and disgusted with the Republican Party and these tactics. I'm disgusted with Donald Trump and his actions. He's gone way. He's just gone over the line, and I've been as patient as I can be. I just more than ever hope that Ted Cruz is the candidate, and in spite of what a lot of people think. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good guy who's in politics. You know, when you're in politics, some of the things you do are not classified as being a good guy. I don't want to see a broken convention. I don't want, as they say, the knight and silver armor coming in. There isn't any. And I don't like Ryan's proposed solution. 17 people ran. They should be in touch. They should be. 15 other people didn't make it. And now you're going to throw it right in the face of the American public and say that they're entitled? No. The two who are entitled, like them or not, are Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. I don't see a broken convention on the other side, but I would say the same thing as much as I detest Hillary Clinton and think Bernie Sanders is a radical left-wing kook communist. One of those two deserves the nomination. I think Bernie might have been able to win it if he went after Hillary with the emails, but things have held him back from criticizing her. She deserves the criticism. You know, you've got the president of the United States, and we can't get too invasive. I'll never forgive you, Bob Dole, John McCain, Mitt Romney. I'll never, ever forgive you for the consequences that this country has suffered. I gave a talk for a company in Manhattan down on Wall Street this Saturday. And then I had a 1.5 hour private meeting with the CEO of the company. They got 600 employees. And as he, I didn't say anything. I don't bring up politics. Don't mix business and politics in your personal life. Don't, unless, you know, it's somebody you know and a situation's right. He said, Obama has killed his business and has killed the industry. He's not finished Barry Hussein Obama as he goes off to Saudi Arabia. I wonder if he'll get on both knees and greet the prince. W. Bush held his hand. I thought that was disgusting. Something has to change. It's just has to change. And I think, honestly, out of the four candidates, there's one who's qualified to be president of the United States. I don't care that he's 44, 45. Who said anything when Barry Obama, who had no experience, became president? Oh, no, you couldn't dare say anything. That would be a racist comment. Oh, but Ted Cruz, 45 years old. Marco Rubio, same age. They're not qualified. Baloney. I'll take Ted Cruz in that office any day of the week. Donald Trump, a whole different mindset. Qualified in terms of knowledge of the issues? No. But I'll tell you, I'm so frustrated. I'm almost about to say I'll take something different. All right, we're going to change topics. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, Jeffrey Salingo, There Is Life After College, What Parents and Students Should Know About Navigating School to Prepare for the Jobs of Tomorrow. Coming up after a break, Rachel Sherry.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, I'm opening a business next door.
Well, welcome to the neighborhood. You know, Staples can print custom signs and banners to help get the word out.
Great, but I gotta watch every dime.
We have low prices every day. And with Staples Price Match Guarantee, you can always get the lowest price.
Perfect.
So when's the grand opening?
Yesterday.
I had no idea.
Neither did anyone else.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples, make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store at staples.com for details.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving, but my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call, but I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Oliver North, host of War Stories on Fox News Channel and author of American Heroes in Special Operations. I just want you to know, Stu Taylor is a great American patriot. Don't miss his show.
All right, our first guest of the morning here to join us. Her name is Rachel Cherie. It's spelled C-H-E-R-I-E. The name of the book is Treachery at Martinique Isle, Daughters of the High Seas, Book One. It's published by Tate Publishing. You can go to tatepublishing.com, barnesandnoble.com, or amazon.com. Rachel, good morning. Nice to have you with us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, the book. A little bit of an overview of the book, and it says book one here. You got a whole series planned. Tell us about the book and how you got started, and then an overview of it.
Okay. Well, the book is the first of a trilogy. The second book is actually out already, and I'm working on writing the third one, and I'm hoping that it will be out maybe next year. The story is based on a childhood pretend adventure, I guess, that my cousin and I made up. And when I went to college, my freshman year of college, I thought, you know, I bet this would make an interesting actual story that, you know, someone could actually sit down and read. And so I wrote it out, and it probably took me about 3 months to write it. And I first did a self-publishing edition of it back in 2009, I believe, and actually, no, probably 2005. And then this edition with Tate, I got it submitted through them, and they accepted the manuscript, and it was published in 2011, and the sequel to it, the next book in the trilogy, was published in December 2014, so just a little over a year ago. And it follows the adventures of a set of twins back in the mid-1600s as they look for treasure and answers about themselves and things like that. So it's a young adult fiction, and I think people of quite a wide variety of ages have enjoyed the stories, but I would definitely say probably if lots of people try to ask me, you know, specifically what age group that it's for, and I would say probably it's probably for girls in the age range of the middle school to possibly high school age. But, you know, I wouldn't want to discourage other ages from reading it either.
As a young girl, and we all live, it's part of the growth process. We live in this often this fairy tale world, this world of imagination. Did you find yourself consciously when you wrote this book, thinking back to your days as a young girl and maybe how much you love these fantasy movies and these fantasy books? Is that the derivation of it, or did it just pop into your head?
Well, I think it probably, the original concept of it kind of sprang from the story of Treasure Island, and then it just really took on a life of its own. And as I wrote the original story, when I sat down and wrote it, I think that it was personal to me, because it was something that I had partially developed in concept as a child, and I was taking that and I was reshaping it into something that was actually a story instead of these characters that we would pretend to be. And I don't know that at the time that I wrote it, I think Pirates of the Caribbean had just come out, and so I think maybe that had kind of re got me thinking about it, helped me remember it and everything. And I just thought, if they can make a story like this, then certainly, I think that this story would be worth making available to other people.
Rachel, there's a lot of nonfiction contained in fiction, a lot of fiction contained in nonfiction, vice versa. Did you have to do any research into history to take real events, real happenings of the time, to be able to add a touch of realism to the story?
I did do research for stuff going on and how long it would take for certain types of transportation, travel, and things like that. I would say that probably there's more of that in the second, and there will be more of it in the third book, as far as tying in actual historical happenings into the storyline to help tie it to reality.
Are the characters, the principal characters, the same in each of the three books?
Yes.
All right. What was more difficult, character development or determining the storyline?
I really like the aspect of character development. It's challenging in its own way, but it's a challenge that I really like. So I don't find it overly difficult to develop the characters and to help them be who they are. But as far as the storyline goes, I would say that there are, I make these kind of like point A, point B, point C type of deal, these kind of moments in the story. And then, we have to connect the, they have to get from one point to the other. And I think that some of those transitional moments from point to point, I think those are the most difficult sometimes for me to write, to make it to make the story not feel rushed or slow, or to not put just
all right. On that note, I want to thank you for bringing your story to the airways. Treachery at Martinique Isle, Daughters of the High Seas is book one, book two, book three by Rachel Cherie. It's spelled C-H-E-R-I-E, Tate Publishing. Thanks so much, Rachel. Pleasure to have you on.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break and...
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Season Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-933-5775. That's 800-933-5775.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
BizTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned in to Money Matters Boston, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, this is Monica Crowley from the Fox News Channel. I just did a fantastic interview with the great Stu Taylor. Stu, thank you so much. You are fabulous. Everybody listen to Stu Taylor.
Oh, boy, you know, I can't say I'm going to relive my experiences, every action, reliving the emotional experiences of the past, because it was different when my daughters went to college. But the climate has changed, the culture has changed, the job field has changed. There's a whole different set of rules and parameters that govern what the best move is for you and your kids. I say for you and your kids, because you've got to cough up that big dollar. The book is There Is Life After College, What Parents and Students Should Know About Navigating School to Prepare for the Jobs of Tomorrow. It's published by William Morrow, and it's written by a distinguished guest, Jeffrey J. Selingo, spelled S-E-L-I-N-G-O. I do that in case people want to Google them. He's written about higher education for over 20 years and is a contributor for the Washington Post. He's got two previous books. His work has been featured in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, et cetera. He's appeared on ABC, CNN, PBS, NPR. And he's a special advisor and professor of practice at Arizona State University, and et cetera. It goes on and on. I'd like to introduce him to give people a little bit of aggravation, concern, and worry, and hopefully some optimism. Hey, Jeffrey, congratulations on the book, and nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
I want to give you two thoughts, because these are the two thoughts that first emanate from my mind here. Number one, it used to be that you went for a job interview and you said, here's what I've done. Now what are you going to pay to get me? You know, it was supply and demand on a different scope. The other is, boy, I'll tell you, I just got through. I went to a state college. I paid $6,500. I went to a private school, and I paid even before that $2,000 or $3,000. I took a walk, as I mentioned to you during the break, around the Wellesley, Massachusetts campus college. You know, I like Hillary Clinton, I'm sorry to say. $61,000 a year. That's not unreasonable. Unknown colleges, $40,000 and up. What's going on? How can people sustain this? And what advice do you have, right? So it's a long question for kids who are thinking, I just can't afford the debt.
Well, it's pretty incredible. There's no doubt about it. You know, even though that's the sticker price, you know, not everybody pays the sticker price, but the discount's not that huge, right? It's not even half for most colleges. So it's becoming increasingly much more expensive for students and parents and families to pay for college anymore. But it's also one of those goods in life that you think, well, I have to do it. There's no doubt about it. I have to go to college in order to get a good job. And I think what the book lays out is a twofold argument. One is that's not necessarily true anymore. Just going to college does not necessarily get you a good job. In fact, 50% of recent college graduates are underemployed, meaning they're in jobs that don't require a bachelor's degree. You know, so they're working at Starbucks as a barista, which is the thing that you keep hearing about with today's college graduates is the stereotype. So that's number one, is that just because you go to college doesn't necessarily mean you are going to get a good job. And so the book lays out the strategies that you have to have while you're in college in order to get those jobs, you know, the experiential learning you have to have, including internships and so forth. But the book also lays out this idea that we need to rethink what we mean by education after high school. 70% of high school graduates go right on to college the following fall. Only half of them actually end up completing college in 4 years, however, because many of them end up dropping out. They have some debt. and no degree, which really doesn't help them in the job market. So we need to think beyond college for some students, and that could include apprenticeships, that could include two-year colleges, that could include an increasing number of options for gap years, which gives students a chance to kind of explore their career interests at the same time as earning academic credit. But this idea that everyone should rush off to college 3 months after graduation, that's my advice to parents, is to really sit down and think about that, because you are about to make a very big investment, and if it doesn't pay off, that's going to be an investment that's wasted.
Yeah, I think a business school, because I have a daughter who got a master's in organic chemistry from Northwestern, and then she took off a year or two, and she took off to get a job, and then got her MBA at the University of Chicago in finance. It's an important component to being successful today, and what gets you into college is not just grades. I know a lot of kids from the affluent town I'm from who scored 800s on their college boards and can't get in. What else does it take? I mean, it's a two-part process. What decisions should you make, and going in, and how do you sustain the costs, and what do you do to get into these schools?
Well, increasingly, they are looking beyond test scores, especially more selective elite colleges, but In many ways, we talk about how hard it is to get into college. It's mostly hard to get into those elite selective colleges, you know, the Stanfords of the world, the Wellesleys of the world, but that's about 200 schools out of the 4,000 we have in the country. Most colleges are essentially open admission, meaning that they, you know, as long as you could breathe, you could, and pay the bill, you could get into courses. And why everybody wants to go to the elite institutions is that that's a signal that, you know, it was hard to get in and you got in, so there must be something special about you. And so if you get a degree from there, the idea has always been, well, that must be a signal that you're ready for the job market. And increasingly, even from elite schools, employers are saying kids are not coming out, students are not coming out with the skill sets we need to succeed in today's workforce. And what they really want are what they call the soft skills, which I think should be called the hard skills because they're hard to teach. You know, communication, teamwork, problem solving, the communications and written communications and verbal communications. Many students, even from the elite schools, can't do this. And that is why employers are increasingly saying we need other signals beyond the bachelor's degree, even one from an elite college, to tell me that you're ready to do this job.
What is your opinion? We see rapid transformations in society on a number of fronts. One is the increased, and I can't believe how many of these ads I see on television, the increased participation with online universities and getting degrees. Big, big money saver. Does it have any validity?
Yes, I mean, I think we tend to equate online with lower quality, and we also tend to equate it with these for-profit colleges and universities that popped up in the last decade or so. I think that the traditional universities that have gone into the online world, I think do a very good job, especially for they're not for 18-year-olds. Most 18-year-olds don't want to go to school online anyway. They're really for a large number. We have one in four adults today in the country who have some college credit and no degree. So they're really for people like that who have some college credit, but they're time pressed. They're usually location based. They can't move to go back to college. It's a perfect opportunity for them to get that degree. But again, just like an 18-year-old, they have to make sure that degree is going to have some value in the marketplace afterwards. I think that people blindly have gone into higher education over the last decade thinking, as long as I have a degree, I'm going to be golden in this marketplace. And that's just not true anymore.
I love what you say. You lay this out. I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Plus, obviously, I don't have the knowledge and the research you put into writing this book. You talk about, you categorize three different groups, splinters, wanderers, and stragglers. Just give us a summation of what those three are.
Yeah, so basically, we used to think, again, that if you went to college, you were golden, right? And what I found, I took a survey for the book, a nationally representative sample survey of people in their mid-20s, and I wanted to find out, well, where are they in life, and what decisions did they make in college, before college, after college, that led them to the point they are? And so I put them in these three buckets. There's about a third, and a third. Sprinters are students who come right out of college. They go right into a job or right into graduate school. They're pretty sure of what what they want to do. But that's only a third of students. Two-thirds of students are in the other two categories, which are the wanderers, which basically take half their 20s to get going, and launching into life, and stragglers, who take most of their 30s. The big difference between those three groups are internships. The work experience they have in college makes a huge difference. Sprinters, 80% of them did at least one internship in college. Wanderers, only about half of them did, and stragglers, only about a quarter of them did. So you can see that this idea of just going to college, showing up to class, you know, people who wander through college end up wandering after college. And so the key is you have to not only get the classroom experience, but you also need to get that after the classroom experience. The other big difference between all three groups, debt. The more debt somebody had, the more likely they were to be a wanderer or a straggler. Why is that? Because after college, they have to take any job just to have some income coming in. So they're the ones who tend to be, you know, the nannies or the baristas. And they say, well, I'll do this for 6 months, and then I'll get a real job. And then they can't get a real job after 6 months or a year. And 3 years later, they're still doing it. Or they can't move to a new city or take a, you know, every job they look at is all focused on how much it pays because they have that debt hanging over their head.
Yeah, and thinking about how much it pays, I've encouraged kids for years, go and do the internship. Get the experience. The value is absolutely incredible because when you apply to college, they're going to want to look at those extracurricular activities and how ambitious you are. It's not just about numbers, is it?
No, it's not just about numbers. You know, you need to be, I talk in the book about you need to be a T-shaped person these days, which means you need to be broad in a number of different subjects. So you need to be well-versed because most jobs are not one activity. It's a mash of activities.
Let's talk about...
And you need to be deep in one thing as well.
Let's talk about in terms of education.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068, 800-957-6068, that's 800-957-6068.
Now, kid, I know you look at me and think, man, that guy knows everything. And you're right, I do. But occasionally even I get stumped. I know, hard to believe. But when I need help, I get it from Grainger. Grainger can solve just about anything, from finding the right products to advice on installation to troubleshooting. Grainger gets me what I need right when I need it. When a guru needs a guru, who does a guru call? Guru calls Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you have sore joints, discover a breakthrough in joint health. Cosamin ASU. A unique patented formula, Cosamin ASU goes to work fast on a cellular level inside your joints. Its active ingredients are shown to inhibit specific enzymes that break down cartilage as you age, helping protect the joint cushioning cartilage important for comfortable activity. Try Cosamin ASU at Costco.com and other fine retailers.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
Real life stories of the Legal Exchange. Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
This is George Will. I've just had the pleasure and sheer fun of an interview with Stu Taylor. Hope you'll listen.
Median income down, 93 million people out there looking for a change of work or jobs, food stamps, 48 million, Obama phones, EBT cards. I mean, it's kind of scary, and we're not seeing any income growth, which makes it even more and more difficult for kids graduating school, graduating college, and even those graduating high school who don't have a formal education. Formal education is only part of it, though. Jeffrey Salingo joining us. His book is There Is Life After College, What Parents and Students Should Know About Navigating School to Prepare for the Jobs of Tomorrow. I've always talked, Jeff, about the schism between academia and the real world, and how people, and it's a generalization. Obviously, there are a lot of exceptions. So that it's been the battle since the feudal days about the two. And the fact that people in academia, so many of them, are so clueless in what's going on in the real world. And that, to me, is where the real education begins, after you've gotten your, quote, formal college education. How true is that, and how do you weigh the two?
Well, you know, I'm still a big fan of formal education, but I do think that you need kind of a combination of both. You know, we have this argument all the time, especially in academia, that, you know, education is supposed to be for education's sake, and then you worry about the job afterwards, you know. So I don't think it's an either-or argument. I think that it's a both-and. I mean, I think you need both the formal education to be a good citizen, and I also think you need a hands-on training to actually get a job. And so the problem is that too many colleges think that, you know, the job just happens after you get this degree, and it doesn't happen that way. And so I think the best education, and this is why I'm a big fan in the book of these co-op programs that, you know, places like Northeastern and Drexel and Georgia Tech and University of Cincinnati offer, because they literally give you a work experience as part of the formal curriculum. And so you're forced to take that work experience, that hands-on work experience, as part of the formal curriculum.
Yeah, I certainly agree. Having been involved in that way back in my days in college and having had four or five different jobs, I think it provided a good baseline for me as well. I saw how the real world works. Yeah, chapter four of the book says, Why a College's Location Matters. Why? I'm curious.
Well, so it goes back to what we were just talking about, this idea that you need outside the classroom experiences. We used to think we want to cloister kids off into the, you know, wilderness there to learn and with the great books. And, you know, we think of college towns, you know, mostly in the New England nice little villages. The part of the thing now, though, is that students need as much off-campus experience, the work experience, the undergraduate research, the hands-on learning that happens. And increasingly that happens off-campus. Also, when you're in a more urban location or in a location with a lot of job opportunities, you get to network with both professors and others who are teaching on campus and working during the day, and so they have a lot more access to people for projects and while you're in school and also for jobs after school. And so there's this whole idea now that I think, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, city schools are city colleges are hot today, because students want to be able to go to school and work at the same time and also have employment opportunities afterwards. And those literally happen in more places now that are located in employment centers, both urban and suburban, than they do in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think there's certainly a lot to be said by not being influenced by the pressures of society. I remember when I started out, I went into electrical engineering. I hated it, but, you know, my brother graduated in physics at MIT. You know, I just felt that pressure to do it. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. And obviously, I got out of there in time. I just wasn't enjoying it. We don't enjoy it, you don't do well. I think it's important for kids today to know that whether they go to a trade school, whether they only get an undergraduate degree or a graduate degree, and they're not necessarily that motivated to be, quote, in a knowledge-based society and want to go into farming and do something. There's really nothing wrong with it. The stigma doesn't exist today, does it?
No, it doesn't. And students really need to think, and parents too, need to think much more broadly about the opportunities that are out there for their kids, especially after high school. You know, part of the problem is we tend to pick 18-year-olds, first of all, have no idea what they want to do with their lives. I guess 40-year-olds don't either, or 50-year-olds. But especially at 18, you have a very limited knowledge of the types of jobs and the type of work that's out there. And so most of the time, you're going to pick a career that's familiar to you, something your parents do or your neighbors do or your teachers. Teachers do it, you know, to tell you what to do in high school. And so what we need is options for students after high school that give them the opportunities to explore different careers. And you could do that by going to a two-year college. You could do that by doing an apprenticeship. You could do that by taking a year off, not a year off, because you're actually going to be doing work, and you're going to have mentorships through a growing number of these so-called gap year programs that are out there. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, because I think too many parents now think, well, if I don't send my kid to a four-year college, they're going to be considered a failure.
What did you learn from writing this book that you didn't know prior to doing that?
Just how important internships are as a recruiting tool for companies. You know, I knew they were important, but I interviewed dozens of companies as part of this, and nonprofit groups also, and government officials as part of this book. And one of the things that really surprised me is that just in the last 5-6 years, how many more companies are recruiting only through their intern pools because they want to try students before they buy them. So what ends up happening is if you don't intern for a company, you have no shot of getting a job there. And we're talking 75 to 80% of their new hires are coming only through their internship programs. That to me was a big shock because, again, I knew they were important, but I basically, you know, and I found out students don't know this often. And so they, you know, they come up to the second semester of their senior year, they start applying for jobs, and they can't get them. And this is one of the big reasons why they can't get them, because they should have 2 or 3 years earlier started interning at some of these companies.
Just a gut feeling on where we're going, the increased cost of education, it's just off the charts, even for people with decent financial means. Where do you think we're going?
Well, I think that we're going to see some closures of colleges and universities in the coming years. I think we're going to see a lot more mergers. And I think we're going to start seeing colleges rethink what they mean by education after high school. So I think that we're going to see a lot more combination of work and colleges, as well as colleges that focus on education, so a lot more dual purposes in colleges. And I think we're going to see a lot more parents and students say, you know what? You're not quite, you know, my son or daughter is not quite ready to go off to college. I don't want to really spend $60,000 a year to do that or put myself or them into debt. And so I'm going to let them explore a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not talking about, you know, sitting, you know, sleeping in your childhood bedroom and working at McDonald's in the morning. But I'm talking about, you know, a focused program right after high school that helps you think about what you want to do next.
All right. I want to thank you very much. Valuable information. There is life after college, what parents and students should know about navigating school to prepare for the jobs of tomorrow. Jeffrey J. Salim.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.